Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Tipsy Ghost. We're your tipsy hosts, Sarah, and Lindsay.
Hey,
hi.
So I just recently got off quarantine about a month ago, and I got to watch a lot of documentaries.
I was stuck in my room. Documentary.
I do love a good documentary. I don't watch them as often as I used to. But there are quite a few good true crime ones that just recently came out. I don't remember if we've talked about this, but the Natalia Grace one.
I don't think we've talked about it either, but that was a very interesting one on like several levels.
It was insane. Boydson, have you seen the horror movie The Orphan?
No.
Add it to your list.
It's on our list.
It is a good one. So it's basically like, it's like the movie The Orphan is what it draws a lot of comparisons to. So it's about a girl in Ukraine who has dwarfism, who was adopted by an American family, and like all the things that happened since then. And it's insane. At first you're like feeling empathetic for the parents, and then you're like, oh my gosh, these people are evil. And then you feel for the girl, and then you're like, I hate both of them and I don't know what to do.
It is. It's weird.
It's two
I thought
seasons.
It was interesting. Yeah, I was just going to say, I thought it was interesting that they give from the perspective of both of them in each season. And that is where it really messes with your emotions. They did a good job with that, but I hated that.
Yeah, and like, I hate to say this. Nobody is likable in it.
Oh, no.
Like, you kind of aren't really rooting for anybody. I was rooting for somebody, and then I was like, no. By the end of it.
Yeah.
And you still don't really know what the truth is. And that's what's kind of interesting.
Boy, that sounds great.
Can't wait for you to watch it.
Like, it's not like a true crime in the sense of like nobody dies, like nobody's murdered, nothing like that. It's just like basically the family is accusing her as a child of not being 6 years old when they adopted her. And they think she was 22 years old, actually. And they think she was trying to kill them.
This is sounding familiar.
So yes.
Then they make her change her age.
They legally changed her age.
Really not that old.
To 22 years old. With the courts and everything.
Agreed.
And on her birth certificate. So then they like moved her into an apartment by herself, and they went to Canada. They fled the country, but left her behind in an apartment by herself, saying she's 22 years old.
She was really like 10.
Spoiler alert, she was not 22 years old. But we didn't know that until years later because they did DNA testing that showed that she was 9 years old when they abandoned her. She was 6. So then it's the court case. You know, she's taking them to court for basically abandonment and neglect. But like, is it neglect because she's like a little person and couldn't care for herself, or because they can't go based off the age? Because legally she is 22 years old.
Right.
Or was 22 years old. Like legally now they're saying she's however old.
On her official documents.
Mm-hmm. So it's crazy.
The court signed off on it.
So you get to hear from her. You get to hear from the dad. And then she goes into all this abuse that she encountered while she was living with them, primarily from the mother. The mother is not involved in the documentaries at all. She was never interviewed. She refused to cooperate.
Which that whole sideline was kind of wild, too, just about the mom in general.
So you spend like the first season thinking that she's trying to kill her adoptive family, and you're feeling empathy for the adoptive family. And then the second season is her speaking out, being like, no, I was horrifically abused by them. And then you're like, oh, my gosh, everything I thought I knew was wrong. It is fascinating. Watch it.
I liked it too.
I saw that, and I've been watching a lot of stuff about cults, and there are
so many
more than you like even think of.
I know.
Have you seen Bikram on Netflix?
No.
So I think you guys would both really like it. Okay. So you know Bikram yoga is a type of yoga. This guy who it's named after is apparently basically a cult leader. And so Netflix has a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's called Bikram.
I think you're right.
Okay.
And
like about him.
Followed by three words that I couldn't read.
So I recommend you watch it on Netflix.
Okay.
I watched it a long time ago, but I recently found out it wasn't super popular. So I think I would recommend, if you haven't seen it, you should watch it.
Bikram Yogi Guru Predator.
Yes.
No, I've only started watching true crime on HBO. I don't know what took me so long. It's excellent.
I have HBO.
You do?
Yeah.
It's Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson.
True Detective.
Sorry. True Detective.
I was like, what is true crime? I saw the first season of True Detective and loved it.
Yeah.
Second season I didn't love as much, but I do want to watch the new season because it's got a lot of people in it.
Yeah. And that's where I'm at. Second season I'm not loving as much, but I'm pushing through.
All right. I have got a smorgasbord for you guys.
Smorgasbord.
Thank you. Have you guys ever seen a horror movie called The Ghost Ship?
No.
It's so, kind of an older one.
I think so, but I definitely know the opening iconic scene. Yes, I've seen the movie now that I'm thinking about it, but I definitely remember the opening scene.
Okay. And I say older, and I'm probably dating myself because it's like the 90s.
God damn it.
Let me double check that fact before I say that. 2002.
So old. Did you watch it? And you were like, this is so old.
No, I've seen it before in the past. Like, I didn't recently watch it, but I've seen it before. I just thought it was in the 90s.
Wow.
That's pretty close.
Which, again, I think the 90s was like last decade.
I think the 70s was 30 years ago.
I do too.
I know. Ugh. It is what it is. Okay, anyway, so Ghost Ship. So this is the story of a real life ghost ship.
Ooh. Is it the Flying Dutchman?
No.
Is it the
what's Mary?
She's already done one on Mary. St. Mary? What? Oh, crap. What's her?
It wasn't the Big Mary story, the warship.
The Mary one that's in California. What is it?
The Queen Mary?
Queen that Mary. One. Yes. We've already done a story on her.
Davy Jones' Locker.
No. This is a real, like a real.
Is this a pirate ship?
It's not a pirate ship. Oh. It's a cargo ship.
Oh.
But it is called the Ghost Ship of Alaska. And we're going to talk about her. Her name is SS Bechimo.
Bechimo?
Bechimo.
Okay.
But that was not her original name. Her original name, you're welcome, Anger Manelvin.
Oh.
It's German.
Sounds that beautiful. That
didn't sound German.
Anger Manelvin.
That was Norwegian, but thank you.
It's the word anger, then man, then elf, then vin.
I don't know what any of that is.
Anger, man, elf, vin. Say it.
Anger Manelvin.
Okay, that sounds much better than me.
Anger Manelvin.
Okay.
I like her way better.
Welcome to Norway.
I said that because
Hadet.
She was built in Sweden.
Oh, okay. It's been all over.
Yes.
Sverige.
So she was a cargo steamer that was built in 1914 in Sweden and was owned by Hudson's Bay Company, the HBC, as they're called.
Mm-hmm. Not the HBIC, though.
Right. No, just the HBC.
The head bitch charge. Not in charge.
HBC. So she is steel hulled and she weighs 1,322 tons.
It feels like a lot.
It is a lot. She's heavy. She's 230 feet long and she has a triple expansion steam engine and can go up to 10 knots, which is 12 miles an hour.
Oh, thank no. you.
So she's hold not speedy. On tight. She ain't speedy, but she's big. All right. So she's
running. She's there you are.
There she is.
There. Oh,
it's still there.
She's running.
She was first launched in 1914 as the
she's going
Anger Manelvin.
I feel like I could race and win against
and again, she transported trade between Sweden and Hamburg, Germany until World War One broke out.
Very nice.
And Hamburg. Hamburg. Hamburg.
Hamburg.
It's where the hamburgers are from.
Hamburger.
So after World War One, she was given to the United Kingdom as part of reparations by Germany for all the shipping losses they incurred from the war.
Oh.
So apparently this was in the Treaty of Versailles that Germany had to owe any merchant ships and fishing boats that the Allies lost during the war. Okay. So they're like,
it was a gift.
Here, I mean, a gift it's for a gift. Them. It's a war reparation.
Yeah.
It's a gift for you. You were a tool. It's a gift
that I must give you because I fucked shit up.
You were a real jerk during World War One. So give us all the ships that we lost because of you. So basically, that's how she became United Kingdom Company. Okay. And that's when HBC, Hudson's Bay Company, took ownership of her in 1921.
Got it.
That's when she was renamed as Bechimo.
Can you spell that?
Baychimo.
Okay.
Bechimo.
Bechimo.
Yeah, I was making it way too complicated up here, so.
HBC takes ownership, and they base her out of Scotland. She completes 9 voyages along the north coastline of Canada. She would go to trading posts and collect pelts.
What?
Like fur pelts, sorry. I almost said pellets.
Pelts.
No. Pelts. She was getting some fur. Fur was very expensive back then.
I would like some pelts.
All right. A crew maker.
Please.
Described her as, quote, she was a strange and disappointing craft.
Strange, disappointing. Bomb kill.
She was iron and steam.
Iron and steam.
All bulk.
All bulk.
Not designed to fly with canvas.
Cannot fly with canvas.
She was no beauty.
No beauty.
Thank you.
The H is strong in every word.
So basically they're saying this boat could do her job, but she was not a pretty boat.
No, she's not.
I know. She was not a beauty. She was all bulk.
All bulk.
If somebody ever said that to me.
This is all bulk.
How dare you?
You're heavy, but you get the job done.
And strange and disappointing. That's what they're
saying. Yep. That's what they said about that ship.
Strange and disappointing.
It's rude.
Put that in my documentary one day.
Strange and disappointing.
If there were two Lindsay. Words to describe Lindsay, it's strange and disappointing.
She turned off the lights anytime she went into a room.
That's me.
If there is ever a documentary about me, please do not let Boydson be the narrator.
I will. Folks at home.
So for 10 years.
A penguin. A penguin.
What?
Penguin?
Penguin?
Penguin.
Where are penguins coming into this?
A penguin. Have you heard the Benedict Cumberbatch?
No.
Okay. You have
I'm like, what are we talking
that
about?
That makes more sense. So he narrated like one of the blue planets or something like that. And he could not pronounce the word penguin. And so he has about 10 different ways, like penguin, penguin, penguin.
Can English British people not pronounce penguin?
Yeah, maybe. He really struggled. And so.
I get it. Okay. I don't know how.
Have you seen the clip of
Chad
Snoop voices over one of
the snakes?
Yes,
the snake among reptile. Yes,
I love that thing or whatever that was.
A snake.
Yeah,
it was. Are you talking about the famous story of the snake and the mongoose, Rikki Tikki Tavi?
Nope.
What?
Okay. It's a famous childhood story. Rikki Tikki Tavi. He's a mongoose.
About the famous mongoose Jack.
It's a cobra.
No, not that.
It's hard to be so cultured.
Is it a Christian story?
No, it's about a mongoose and a cobra. What are you talking about?
I've heard of Rikki Tikki Tavi. Yeah. No, I was talking about the
I have too.
Clip where Snoop Dogg was narrating. He was, I don't know, describing what he was seeing in a clip from the nature.
It's by the same guy who wrote The Jungle Book. Rikki Tikki Tavi. It's by the same guy who wrote The Jungle Book.
Sounds great.
Okay. No, I'm not up to date with Snoop Dogg.
Well, you will be narrating stuff. Send you to TikTok later.
Okay. For shizzle.
That's kind of how it was. It was good.
All right. So she's based in Scotland.
All right.
So for 10 years, she's just chugging along, doing her work. And then in 1931, she becomes trapped in pack ice at the end of a trading run. And she was all loaded up with fur to trade. They were on their way back.
I keep forgetting that you're talking about a ship.
I'm talking about a ship.
It sounds like a human lady.
Oh, no.
Stuck in the water.
Right. She's before frozen. Right before this last expedition, Captain Furwell. She just coated in furs and stuck in the ice and saying, help.
Come on. Rikki Tikki Tavi.
I hate you guys.
That's the magic words.
I hate that you acted like you didn't know what it was, but you did know what it was. I did. You made me look like an idiot.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. You did that all on your own, Lindsay.
Weird.
Captain Cornwell.
Okay.
CC.
He is the captain of this expedition. He wrote to his superiors before, saying the Beachimo, gentlemen, is not strong enough to work through heavy Arctic ice without an amount of damage done to the ship. And they're like, nah, bro, she good. You're going anyways. See ya. So they went out on their expedition. But it was not going well. They're up in Nome, Alaska on July 24th, but they kept hitting ice that caused them to either like turn around and find a different path, or they would just have to like sit there and wait and try to power the steam engine to go through the ice and cut through it. And these are, you know, it's 1931, it's the Depression years, so they could not afford to just turn back without the furs that they were sent to gather, because that was a waste of money. So for almost a month, they traveled around Alaska, and they kept trying to find alternative paths, and because of this, they were a month behind schedule. And they were all basically thinking the same thing. If it's this bad in July and August, what are we going to do when winter hits?
Yeah.
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming, especially at the rate they're going. So they finally get to their last stop on September 12th. They have 400 miles to go to get to their next stop. And 3 days later, they still have not arrived. And one of the propeller blades snaps off. So basically, Beichimo is not doing well. She is straining to cut through the ice. They finally make it on September 18th to Barrow, Alaska, which, fun fact, this is one of the most northern towns in the world, but definitely the most northern town in the U.S.
Barrow?
Barrow, Alaska. It is even north of the Arctic Circle.
The closest one to the North Pole is Svalbard.
Ooh, look at that. How do you know that?
She's a five.
Thank you for reminding me that everything I thought I knew about Sarah is a lie.
Don't worry, I'm still the same.
Yes. I'm still the same. I was just labeled wrong.
I know that you are a six. So they make it to Barrow. But then on September 24th, they are down to just 9 days worth of coal because they are so far behind schedule. So they had to start rationing their power. A couple days later, on September 29th, they realize that the ice is solid and she ain't moving nowhere.
Stuck.
She's stuck in that ice. And they don't have enough coal to power through it. So the crew briefly abandons her. And it's kind of cool because she's stuck in the ice. They just climb off the ship and they're walking across the ice. And they traveled and walked back to Barrow, Alaska. And there they wait. And when they return, she is free of the ice. So they load back up, but she becomes stuck in ice again 7 days later on October 8th. This time she was too stuck. So again, they get off the boat. And on October 15th, the HBC sent a plane to retrieve the crew.
She sounds like a big baby. That's what she is.
She can't cut through that ice.
Get it together.
This is October.
It's not even December or January.
No.
We got a lot more ice coming.
And she started this in July.
She needs to pull it together.
She needs to pull it together. So the HBC sends a plane to get the crew out. 22 of them were, you know, rescued, but 15 decided to stay behind. And they were like, we're just going to wait until she thaws and then we'll come back. And the captain was one of those crew members. And they built a shelter close by off of the boat and they were just going to wait. But then November 24th, a blizzard comes through, and when it passed, 3 days later, they come out of their shelter to go look for the boat, and she is gone.
I'm going to tell you right now, I would not be waiting. I would not be one of the waiting. No.
You've already been, like, at the Alaskan Sea in the Arctic Circle for months.
You take
months.
It as a sign, like, hey, I should get on this plane to go home.
Yeah. Yeah, but the captain is with his ship. I get it.
The captain goes down with his ship. He will put his flag up and surrender.
Maybe that's what happened. It sunk.
So the crew assumes that because she's gone, she was broken up and she sunk to the bottom of the sea.
Yeah.
But then a few days later, an Inuit seal hunter reports seeing her about 45 miles away. So the crew tracks her down and decided, yep, that's her, but she's not going to survive the winter at this rate. We're going to go back. So the HBC sent another airplane out and rescued the rest of the crew in February of 1932. Before they did, though, they did manage to get on the ship and they picked up as many furs as they could. But she did not sink that winter. So there have been numerous reported sightings of her. A few months after she was left behind, she was spotted about 300 miles to the east from where the crew had originally left her. January 1932, she was floating peacefully near the shore, and a man named Leslie Melvin was traveling with his dog sled team and just saw her out at the sea. Allegedly, we're going to say this because it hasn't been proven, he boarded and took Captain Cornwell's uniform, some flags, and some contraband liquor that he found on board.
I mean,
I'd take the liquor.
He's pretty brave.
Whatever it takes to stay warm.
I mean, he's traveling with his dog sled team. He's like, I'm going to take some alcohol.
And a uniform.
And a uniform. He's going to pretend to be a captain.
I'm the captain of this now.
A couple months later, she was seen by a company of prospectors who were investigating the land. About a year later, in March 1933, she was found by a group of indigenous Alaskans, and they boarded her, but then got trapped for 10 days because a freak storm came around, and they couldn't get off the ship. They were eventually rescued by rescue boats and reported that the ship was in pretty good condition, but she did have a crack in her side.
It's a butt crack.
At this point, experts weighed in and they thought that she would float towards Russia. She did not. Several months past August 1933, she is sighted 12 miles off the settlement of Wainwright, Alaska, and was again boarded by locals who took some of the items and furniture that were still left on the boat. They said that she was poised, her giant hull, rust-stained, Hole like H-U-L-L.
Her giant hole. Rust stain.
I saw you laughing and I knew I had to clarify H-U-L-L.
In my defense, it did sound like you said hole.
Hole. How would you pronounce H-U-L-L?
Hole.
Hole.
Hole. Hole.
I hear it now.
Rust stained and battered by the frozen seas, looming tower-like above the little trader. She was riding upon a pan of ice which looked already almost on the verge of breaking up. Later that month, the HBC hears, oh, she's still around. She's still floating. But they went to investigate and she was too far out to sea for them to save. So they're like, okay, float on, little gal. You just keep on going.
Is that what they said?
Yeah.
Float on, little gal.
Get on out of here, little gal.
You're doing a good job.
Go on now, get.
July 1934, she was boarded by a group of explorers. Late 1934, movie director Ewing Scott proposed he was going to make a movie and he wanted to blow her up as part of his movie.
Seems extreme.
He's like, nobody's using this ship. She's just floating around Alaska. But the movie was never produced and they could never find the ship to blow it up. The next year, September 1935, she is spotted again. And then November 1939, 4 years after that, she was boarded by Captain Hugh Polson, who was trying to save her, but he was ultimately forced to abandon and could not board. She has been spotted several times, but nobody else has been able to get close or to board since 1939. And the last time she was spotted was March 1962, almost 30 years after she was abandoned, and she was just drifting along the seacoast. She was spotted by another group of Alaskan natives and was found frozen in an ice pack in 1969, 38 years after she was abandoned.
So they do know where it is?
So in 1969, that's the last time anybody ever saw her.
Oh.
38 years, she just floated along out to sea, never sank.
You know, it's really annoying that several people boarded the ship.
Yeah.
And not a single person was like, maybe we should get this ship to the land.
Well, to be fair, she had no coal. She had no power to propel her. So she's just been floating. Listen,
they sailed across the ocean.
She survived ice.
From the UK all the way to Alaska.
The Titanic couldn't do that.
Not even on the first time.
It's terrible. It's you're not wrong. But like, yeah, but she couldn't. She never hit an iceberg. All the storms that happened over 38 years. She just has been floating. So like I said, 1969 was the last recorded sighting of her. In 2006, the Alaskan government began working on a project to solve the great mystery of, quote, the ghost ship of the Arctic and find her. But she has not been found, and many believe that she has sank to the ocean floor, but there has never been any kind of wreckage ever found of her. She just disappeared.
To be fair, we know nothing about the ocean.
We've talked about this. The ocean is a scary
I do not abyss. Expect them to be able to find it if it did sink.
No, I don't expect it either, and it's probably not got a lot of funding behind it to find a ghost ship.
Look at the airline that went missing. There's probably been several. They've gone missing over the ocean. They just can't find them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. It's just fascinating that they all abandoned the ship, and they're like, she's not going to survive. And she survived for 39 years, just floating around the ocean by herself.
She didn't need those men.
No. That's right.
She was
an independent ship.
Because she was part of the HBC.
She was the HBC.
So that literally is the ghost ship of Alaska.
Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. I love a good ghost.
Little ghost ship, little unsolved mystery.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure she's buried at the depths of the ocean, but it's just...
No, she's obviously still sailing around.
She's sailing around. I think it's fascinating she lasted that long.
A skeleton crew.
Ooh, yes. Can you imagine how cold it was on that ship?
What if you took a cruise up to Alaska and you
I want to do that
across the ghost ship? That would be amazing.
That would be amazing. It sounds like every time they saw her, she was kind of near the coast, but then when they would see her like out in the open ocean, they were like, she was too far out.
She's
like,
shy.
Take another boat out.
Right?
It's not like you're swimming out into the boat.
That's what I don't understand. I'm like, in this day and age, we still have no idea. if it's still out there or not.
There was, I didn't mention it, but there were several like private pilots who would take their planes out and try to find her, and they would just fly over the ocean in Alaska and they couldn't find her either.
That's crazy. Well, I'm real proud of her.
She probably, she went up to the North Pole and she was working for Santa for a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's why nobody could find her for a while.
That makes sense, actually.
And then she would come back to Alaska to deliver gifts, only to Alaska.
She moved too slow at 12 miles an hour.
She couldn't do everything that Santa needed.
One spot.
She could do in one state in the entire in the entire world.
Alaska's big though, so that's probably a huge help.
It is. Alaska's huge, but they population wise, they're not so big.
Very true.
It's okay. She did what she could.
She did.
Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. All right, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in to this week's Smorgasbord. You can always find us online at thetipsyghost.com with our socials linked from there, or send us an email at thetipsyghost@gmail.com.
Please give us a 5-star rating and a great review anywhere you listen to podcasts. We really appreciate it, and it really does help.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. We'll catch you next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.